I really hope that each of us makes that a daily prayer. Because you see, so many times we find ourselves conforming God to our thoughts. And until we understand and He opens our eyes so that we understand what He has for us, what Jesus came to give you and I, we are just going to constantly be confounded. We're not going to live in victory. So if we need a victorious life, we need to pray that prayer each day and each moment. Open my eyes that I may see what it is that You want for me, Lord. This next one continues with that theme and it says, "Be Thou my vision." It goes ahead to talk about all that He has done. He is the High King of heaven. There is no one greater. There is nothing that He cannot do. He says that He wants to bless His children. We need to learn to walk in that blessing. Even during the times of trials, we can feel His blessing upon us. So I just wanted us to think of that as we begin thinking about these scriptures, because this is how God chose to bless us. I want to remind you from Galatians, Johnny read to us, "But when the set time had fully come, God was watching." Remember, it said that before the world was created, God already knew exactly what was going to happen. He knew that sin would enter the world. He knew that man would fall. And it says that He already had determined what to do. It wasn't a second plan that God came up with. He knew before. So He didn't have to stop and say, "Oh, Adam and Eve fell, so what am I going to do?" He knew they were going to fall. And yet His love remained constant. So when the time was right, He sent His Son. Now, it was interesting to read about why people think the time was right. In the commentaries, they mentioned that, well, the Romans had established a peace. Well, yes, there was trade throughout many of the nations. The known world at that time was all controlled by the Romans, and they had started to build roads, and they had really made it so that there was travel throughout many of the nations. They went to China, they went everywhere to trade. The trade had come. So yes, that's a possibility. That is a possibility, but God said in the fullness of time, He would send His Son to die because the sacrifice had to be there. So yes, the news, the good news, could be preached. And I want you to stop and think how God used some of that. And I haven't even started my sermon, guys, so I'm sorry. But I want you to think about this. Persecution arose in the early church, so they had to spread. You know, Jesus said to them, "You're going to go from Jerusalem, you're going to start there, you're going to go to Judea, and you're going to the uttermost parts of the earth." Okay? Well, maybe they were a little slow in going. And so persecution came, and God used that. Now, do you think that God made each of those individuals choose evil things? No, He used them. And that's what the Scripture says. "Everything I will use for good to those who love Me and who are called according to His purpose." So, God doesn't necessarily cause evil. He didn't cause Satan to come and trip up Adam and Eve. He knew it was going to happen. And He had a plan. He knew how He would redeem them again. How He would establish a right relationship. So now let's go to our scripture. I've reminded you of Galatians 4. Now we're going to jump over to Luke 2. Because I want you to realize God has been working mightily. And so, before I go to Luke 2, let's go back for a second. We've talked about several things. The first angel to show up in this time of Jesus was the angel who came to Mary. Then He came to Zechariah. Well, actually, He came to Zechariah. Then He came to Mary, I think. We'll have to go back and see which order that was. And then, after He had come to Mary, He came to Joseph. each time he needed to give a message. And then he came to the shepherds. So the angels have been very active. Now, I want you to notice in our scripture lesson this morning, we hear nothing about angels. What do we hear about? We hear about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Sometimes we think how the Holy Spirit wasn't active before Jesus went back to heaven. But I want you to realize, this is before Jesus had been bestowed with the fullness of the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit was already working in the world. When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord. Every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms, and he praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. Did you hear that? A light for revelation to the Gentiles. Hallelujah. Otherwise, you and I wouldn't be sitting here. And the glory of your people Israel. The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him, and Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Peniel, of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. And coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth, and the child grew and became strong, and he was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was on him. All right. I want us to kind of take these scriptures and put them together for a moment. It said that Jesus was born under the law, okay? And that he fulfilled each and every part of that. I want you to think about this that is going on right now. Because you and I really don't know a lot about the Levitical laws. We just know that in this scripture that it said that the firstborn male to open the womb had to be redeemed. All right? That we find over in Leviticus 12. And I'm going to read for you Leviticus 12, 1 through 8. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to the sons of Israel, saying, When a woman gives birth and bears a male child, then she shall be unclean for 7 days, as in the days of her menstruation she shall be unclean. And on the 8th day the flesh of his foreskin shall be circumcised. Then she shall remain in the blood of her purification for 33 days. And she shall not touch any consecrated thing, nor enter the sanctuary until the days of her purification are complete. But if she bears a female child, then she shall be unclean for 2 weeks, as in her menstruation, and she shall remain in the blood of her purification for 66 days. And when the days of her purification are completed, for a son or for a daughter, she shall bring to the priest at the doorway of the tent of meeting a 1-year-old lamb for burnt offering, and a young pigeon or a turtle dove for a sin offering. Then she shall offer it before the Lord and make atonement for her, and she shall be cleansed from the flow of her blood. This is the law for her who bears a child, whether a male or a female. But if she cannot afford a lamb, then she shall take two turtle doves or two young pigeons, the one for a burnt offering and the other for a sin offering, and the priest shall make atonement for her, and she shall be clean. We need to realize that this was why Mary and Joseph were now making their way to the temple. So, I think sometimes that I have forgotten about that length of time. So you see that since she had had a male child, that it was not the same amount of time. It was less time than if she'd had a female child. So after the 33 days plus the 8 days, then she and Joseph could go to the temple. All right? She went to the temple. They were following the laws of Moses. All right? We quite often call these the Levitical laws. Jesus followed all of those laws, and it says that he did them sinless, without sin. So it was all accomplished. But the Holy Spirit, and this is the main thing I want us to catch this morning, the Holy Spirit was active. Okay? Remember I said last week, from the last prophet until the time of Jesus, the people of Israel just had really not heard anything from the Lord. It had been still. It had been quiet. Were there godly people? Yes. Why was Mary chosen? Because she was godly. Why was Simeon chosen? Because he was godly, it says. These people knew that God loved them. They knew that there was a Messiah coming. It says here, Anna was looking for the consolation of the Lord. That meant the redeeming of them. They were waiting to be redeemed. They knew they needed a redemption. Now, I want us to also recognize that obviously the wise men had not come yet. How can I tell you that? Look at the offering they brought to the temple. The offering they brought to the temple was for those who were too poor. They couldn't afford a lamb. Now, if you had a pot of gold, you can afford a lamb. So the wise men had not yet gotten there when this all transpired. And so I just want you to realize, even though we quite often put the wise men up there, you'll notice I have not put them up with our manger scene yet. Now, again, we don't know exactly when the wise men came, but I'm going to talk more about that next week. I'm just calling your attention. They're not there yet. In our story, they weren't there yet because, obviously, Mary and Joseph did not have a lot of money. I want you to think about the hardship that they'd already endured. They had traveled all the way from Nazareth to Bethlehem to have their baby. They were having to live in someone else's house. So there were all these expenses. When you go on vacation and you don't have a house, think of the expenses you have. Either you tow a trailer behind you and you pay for your camping fees, or you stay in a motel so that you have a place to stay, or you find relatives who have an extra bedroom. And then it becomes less expensive to have vacation. Anyway, I'm just simply saying, Joseph and Mary had done all of these things. They were following the law, and they had been told about they would have a son. Now, I want you to think about this for a moment. And I don't want to humanize them too much, but I want you to realize Mary and Joseph were human. And I want you to think about the doubts that we struggle with in our lives. How many of you have thought God was leading you to do something only to sit there and start second guessing? Here we have Mary, a godly person, Joseph, a godly person, chosen by God to be the physical parents of his son Jesus. But I can imagine myself thinking, why me? How is this going to happen? How is God going to do this? Did I really hear that angel? And then I want you to think about going into the temple, bringing your sacrifice, and then two people coming up to you and saying, your son is the Messiah. Not just one person, but two people. And how that must have reinforced for them what the angel had told them. I just know that myself, I would have struggled. It would have been so helpful to have someone come up and say, no, the Holy Spirit has already revealed to me this child is the Messiah. Now, the Scripture doesn't tell us that that's why God sent them. But there was a reason. Obviously, Joseph and Mary needed to hear that again, or God wouldn't have had Simeon and Anna in the right place at the right time. How did Simeon come to be there? It said the Holy Spirit said, go to the temple. Now, Anna was in the temple, so the Holy Spirit didn't have to get her from one place to another. But Simeon was told by the Holy Spirit, go to the temple. As I think about all that God brought to pass in a period of a month or 2 months from the time that the decree went out or the angels came. Actually, we have a period of, okay, a year. I guess we better make it now because we got 9 months to have a baby. The angels appeared first, you know, and then we have to have 9 months. So we have all that time. And God just kept putting piece by piece by piece together all the things that needed to happen so that this plan, his son, could be born. One of my favorite books at Christmas time is one that Max Lucado wrote. And it talks about how when Jesus was coming to the earth, that God chose to send his Holy Spirit with the angels. And it talks about how Satan tried to stop it all along the way. Now, it's a fictional work, and I recognize that. But I want us to also recognize that over and over we're told in Scripture that Satan is constantly out to steal, to kill, and destroy. That is his plan and his purpose. And I believe that through this whole year, Satan was active, trying to stop the plan of God from happening. And that's why I rejoice this morning, because Satan couldn't stop it. Our God is an almighty heavenly Father with power greater than anything. And we just need to remember that. And we need to learn to yield to his leading so that we're at the right place at the right time. You know, I've spoken before about those God moments, those times that you just know God set up for it to happen. You know, I've had them at grocery stores. I've had them sitting at the oil change shop. I've had them at different times and different places. And you never know when God has set up an appointment for you. Sometimes we're just in the right place at the right time, just like Anna. Of course, where else could you be any better than in the temple of our Heavenly Father? And she lived there day and night, it says. Hallelujah. But sometimes he says, get up, move to a new spot, as he did with Simon. But what did it all take? The hand of God. When we think of the Holy Spirit, we think of the Holy Spirit in so many different ways, and it's kind of hard because the Holy Spirit isn't that physical being like you and I are. But the Holy Spirit uses physical beings. And so when we think of the Holy Spirit, we think about God because it says it's God's Holy Spirit. We think about Jesus because he said he went back so that the Holy Spirit could be sent back and he would teach us all about Jesus. So just broaden your horizons when you think about the Holy Spirit. Recognize that you can't just separate out the Holy Spirit, Jesus, and God, because they're all entwined. And yet, they are in time separate. Just like this scripture says, the Holy Spirit spoke to Simeon, go. This morning, I just want you to think on this. The fullness of time is different for each and every one of us. The time for the Savior to be born was 2,000 years ago. But the time for different individuals to be born again is different. If you've got a loved one this morning that is not saved, don't forget to pray for them. Ask the Holy Spirit to work on their life. Let the Holy Spirit lead you so that you are in the right place at the right time. And know that God is still working. Our God is still Almighty God. Our God is still the one who created the world. Our God is, we could go on and on and on about how great He is. Sometimes I think we just take God and we put Him in this nice little package. God can't be put in a package. Because He is to each and every one of us, whatever it is that He needs to be to get our attention. Let the Holy Spirit, ask the Holy Spirit, come, guide me, teach me, mold me. And here's one of those words from the hymn that we don't quite often like, break me. Sometimes we need broken so that God can put us together again. Sometimes we need broken so that we can be molded into what He wants us to be. Instead of us telling God what our plans are and then asking Him to bless. Seek Him. Say, tell me your plans for my life so that I may be what you've called me to be. Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your Holy Spirit that comes to dwell within us. We thank you so much for your love that would send your Son. And we thank you that we have become your children by the adoption and through the blood. In Jesus' name we glorify you. Amen.